Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Marigold Standard, your weekly audio source of all things Dream Star Fighting Marigold. I'm your host, Rob Goodwin. I'm joined by the kayfabe son of Ted Turner himself. It is Matt Turner. Matt Turner, who killed WCW?
Oh, geez. I'm on part four of that documentary. I didn't get a chance to finish it. They've done a great job, the folks over at Dark Side of the Ring. Evan and Jason have done a great job with that that series. I do have to say, one Eric Bischoff comes across as a huge babyface there. He really comes across really well. And I always say Kevin Nash is a very smart man when it comes to the pro wrestling business, and he doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't BS anybody, but he is absolutely right when he gets a lot of flack about ending the streak. He said, go back and watch it. When I powerbombed Goldberg and pinned him, because I was over as bleep. And I'm like, Yeah, he was. So I don't know who killed WCW. I'm not sure. All I know is those 3-4 years when the Monday Night Wars were red hot, that was one of the best times to be a wrestling fan, because the internet was just starting to creep up a little bit. You didn't have too many spoilers. Not everybody was as smart as they think they are now. And there was no DVR. So you had to try to watch things back to back at the same time, which made it for really, really entertaining and a fun time to be a fan. But I'm going to throw this at you. Who do you think killed WCW?
Now, obviously, I am a huge podcast listener. I listen to a lot of Eric Bischoff's 83 Weeks podcast. I don't think one singular thing killed WCW. I think that would be too easy. I think a whole multitude of things killed WCW. I think the main thing was the merger between Turner and Time Warner, simply because it sort of hamstrung WCW. Too many cooks started to spoil the broth, that sort of thing. And I think all those things sort of began the descent. And then I think just too many people given creative control. It's a whole manner of things, as opposed to, you know, Eric Bischoff or the NWO or Hulk Hogan or Ted Turner. It's a fascinating documentary. It really is. And I'd also recommend the Nitro book, and by Guy. Oh, I can't remember his second name. I've got it anyway. It's a fantastic book. So if you're interested in the rise and fall of WCW, and especially Nitro, then that's definitely a book for you. And Eric Bischoff has publicly endorsed it as, you know, one of the most complete and well-researched histories of WCW. But Matt Turner, we're not here to talk about WCW. No. We are here to talk about Dream Star Fighting Marigold, who gave us not one, not two, but three shows to talk about today. So we're going to get into all those shows, the one from KBS Hall on the 15th, the one from Nagoya on the 16th, and then the live show that they produced on Sunday, the show from Shinkiba, which is why this show is a little bit later than normal. Just gave me and Matt a little bit of time to watch that show as well. We've got a little bit of news to talk about as well. I do just want to say, and I said this to you, Matt, before we came on air, I know that there have been card announcements and things from Stardom for their Corrigan Hall show this weekend, but I'm not going to be talking about them on this podcast simply because it has it basically has connotations for the conversion. So I don't want to ruin it for that podcast. So I will be talking about that on the Stardom cast when we record tomorrow. And obviously you guys will hear it on Thursday if you're a Patreon member, and or Friday if you are listening on the free feed. But Matt, these three shows that we're going to be talking about before I delve into the news, three pretty decent shows and continue a run of really solid sort of, if you want to call them, Wrestle Universe shows, shall we say, non-Corrigan Hall shows. They've done a good job, Marigold, of making it not necessarily compulsory viewing, but really fun to watch. And I think that's really the important element here, that they have been fun to watch. And especially the last couple of shows, I feel like we've had quite a lot of character development for a couple of the wrestlers as well.
Yeah, it really seems like this week on the Marigold Standard, we're all about the numbers, because we have four time limit draws to talk about across three fantastic shows brought to you by two good-looking podcast hosts all on one podcast platform. Yes, the Marigold Standard. But yes, brother, I see what I did there.
I love it, mate.
I totally agree with you, especially the first show, which we'll get into. I thought Myla Grace and Zeta Steel, they're doing a great job coming along. It really seemed like the first week or two, they were just kind of getting their feet wet. And it seemed like Zeta Steel was getting into her character a little bit more than Myla Grace. But Myla Grace, she's really come along a far way in such a short time. So we've seen a lot of character developments. We're really building towards that that white belt matchup that's going to be coming up at Summer Destiny. That Summer Destiny show, for all intents and purposes of what has already been announced and what it looks like that they're pointing to, may very well be the best wrestling show you see in all of wrestling this year. So yeah, Marigold is doing a great job building up these cards, building up these matches, and the fact that most of these shows are under 2 hours long, so you can get a lot of good wrestling in under 2 hours, which I know helps me and you out a lot, considering the fact that we're already insanely busy on the Stardom cast. You're in the process of writing book 9 of 4052 plus obviously we're growing the Patreon, we're doing more interviews written, and we're trying to be getting some video interviews hopefully in the next few months, fingers crossed on that. And then you throw in a new promotion that we're watching. We have to watch, we don't have to. We're absolutely loving these shows, but the fact that most of these shows get done in under 2 hours, and they go by pretty quick just because the quality of wrestling we're getting from the Marigold Wrestling promotion is really top notch. So yeah, I'm excited to delve into these three shows with you, buddy.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Let's kick into some news though before we talk more about Marigold. And unfortunately, we start with a little bit of sad news. Obviously, on the 23rd of June, we were due to have an IWGP Women's Championship match between the champion Mayu Iwatani and the challenger Tsukasa Fujimoto. Unfortunately, at minute 16 of the match, Fujimoto went for the Venus shot, which is a move she uses quite often, apparently. And the way she lands, unfortunately, she ends up dislocating her right elbow. You can actually see it on the stream. She tells referee Bob Sasaki that, "I'm fine, I'll carry on, I'm fine," and actually tries to carry on. And credit to the referee, he made the decision to award the match to Mayu, to stop the match, and I think that was the right decision, even though you could see it was really devastating for Fujimoto. And obviously, you know, we want to see both women be as healthy as is humanly possible. Unfortunately, that couldn't be the case. Sky Wrestling has actually just had a little bit of a an update courtesy of Ice Ribbon, and said that Fujimoto has undergone surgery today on her dislocated right elbow. The surgery was done to fix the dislocated elbow to correct ligament damage and an avulsion fracture as well. So she really, really did do it some damage. I mean, credit to her tenacity and credit to her dedication and her passion for wanting to carry on, but I think cooler heads did prevail. And actually, I think Fujimoto actually did come out and say, yeah, it was the right decision. I was just pumped. I don't know if you saw afterwards as well, Matt. Sorry, my girlfriend just bought me a cup of tea whilst bowing to me as she came in. I don't know. Just got to get herself over.
The queen.
Absolutely.
The queen. Yeah,
absolutely.
Amber was trying to get over yesterday, before we hit the record button, that I got two signed posters from Japan and the FedEx. And the guy dropped it off. It looked like a bomb went off on it. And I was like, what is this? And she was more fired up than I was. But thankfully that the posters were okay. So our significant others, they're trying to get in on the Stardom Cast Marigold fortune that we're building here, buddy. So you can't blame them. As smart business ladies we have over here.
Absolutely. Just trying to build their own brand, and I appreciate that. Plus, it's a cup of tea, and I'm British, therefore I love nothing more than a cup of tea. But yeah, I don't know if you saw this. Obviously, I watched a little bit of the match, and then obviously saw the injury. We'll talk a little bit more about it in detail tomorrow on the Stardom Cast, but I don't suppose you saw Mayu Iwatani attempting to shake Fujimoto's hand before realizing she was attempting to shake the hand that had got the dislocated elbow attached to it. So even in all of the confusion or the, you know, general upset nature of what was going on, Mayu still managed to be Mayu in the situation. Obviously heartbreaking for Fujimoto, and obviously we wish her well, Matt.
Yeah, I obviously bought the pay-per-view just based on one match. I don't even know how much I spent. All I asked was if someone could send me a link to where I can purchase it, because I want to support Ice Ribbon, and obviously I want to watch this match because it's Mayu, and Mayu is one of my favorite current wrestlers in all of wrestling, and obviously if you listen to the Stardom Cast, you know how big of fans we are. So it's an IWGP match with Fujimoto, who I've only seen a couple times, and Mayu. Got the pay-per-view. I know I was not going to be able to watch, and I only wanted to watch this match. I don't even know what else was on the card. No disrespect to anybody else on the card, but I knew I was going to watch it after my side job on Sunday. By the time I woke up, I did read the result. There was an injury in this match, but I was told it wasn't too gruesome. Partner, you know me, I won't watch matches when there's injuries, but I thought, you know, I've already purchased the pay-per-view. I understand that it was a pretty good match up until the injury. I'm glad I did watch it because, one, the injury wasn't that gruesome, and unfortunately, injuries do happen all the time, especially on a move that she does all the time, Fujimoto. And the match was phenomenal up until the part of the injury. I mean, they were really getting cooking in minute 16, but all the stuff with the kicks and the forearms and then brawling through the crowd, I thought was all really well. But yeah, I did notice that Mayu, and again, I don't, it's just Mayu being Mayu when she went to go shake Fujimoto's hand. It was like, I just dislocated this. This is the reason why the match stopped. It was like, you know, just that any other wrestler, you'd be like, ah, that's in poor taste, but that's just Mayu being Mayu. It's why she's so endured and so loved. And I know that they have set up a rematch. Are they going to try to set up a rematch once, you know, the timetable works itself out? And hopefully we do get that rematch somewhere down the line, whether it's an Ice Ribbon or whether it's on a Stardom show proper, or maybe even a New Japan show. I mean, who knows? But obviously from what we saw in the tag match at Flashing Champions with Best Friends versus Eye Contact and what we got here in 16 minutes, unfortunately, this injury did happen. It's a good thing. I guess, you know, it could have been worse. I mean, heaven forbid she could have fell on her neck or separated her shoulder or something like that. So the injury could have been worse. So I'm glad that she had the surgery and the surgery went well. And then hopefully somewhere down the line, we get a times table on a return match. Because once again, once they announce that match, if it is a pay-per-view, whether it's New Japan, Stardom, or Ice Ribbon, that'll be definitely one that I purchase. But yes, we wish Fujimoto well. Hopefully she gets back healthy soon, and hopefully we get this return match somewhere down the line.
Yeah, according to Twitter, and I cannot remember for the life of me who said it, and I'm sorry because I do usually like to credit people, but I believe the overall attendance for the Ice Ribbon Show was above 1,000 people, which is up 500 or over 500 people from their last Corican Hall Show Ice Ribbon. So an enormous draw, which makes the unfortunate manner of the result even worse. However, speaking of Fujimoto, the Sariism Chapter 4 show was announced today at a press conference, and Fujimoto has been announced for that show, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But the reason I bring this up is because not only is Sari obviously absolutely tearing it up in Marigold, but she'll be teaming in the main event with one Natsupoi against the team of Takumi Aroha and Azumi in what is billed, quite rightly, in my opinion, as a special dream tag team main event. The rest of the card is, as I mentioned, the best friends, Arisa Nakajima and Tsukasa Fujimoto versus Mia Momono and Riko Kawahata. Singles match then, Yu versus Prominence's Kurumi Hiragi, and then Jaguar Yokota and Kaoru Ito against Sha and Misa Kagura. Now, obviously, I don't know what the timetable is in terms of the injury to Fujimoto, or when it comes to a dislocated elbow and all of the litany of other things that she had sorted with this surgery that Scott has reported on Twitter. I don't know if, you know, a month is going to be enough or whether she is going to have to be replaced by someone. But as of today, which of course is he looks at his calendar, the 25th of June, so just over a month away, she is still advertised for the show. That main event though, that main event is going to be hella tasty, my friend.
Yeah, and considering the fact that we have Sari, who's been in Stardom for a little bit, we have Azumi, Natsupoi, who are constants in Stardom, and Takumi Aroha, who was in the 2021 five-star Grand Prix and competed in the 2021 Dream Queendom show. That is a match that we will definitely be covering for the Stardom Cast podcast when that match happens. So, yeah, that main event was boy howdy. And even the Stardom Twitter pages, they retweeted everything out. So it's nice to see that Sari might be the smartest person in all of Joshi right now, considering the fact that she's getting all this coverage from Stardom. And again, Stardom, they're advertising her show, and she's got two main Stardom wrestlers in her match in the main event. And then she's working for Marigold, and we're going to be working on a show that's going to have close to 4,000 people coming up here in just a few weeks. So good on her. Good on her being able to basically just bet on herself and hitting an absolute home run. But yeah, that whole entire show looks really well. Sari is on an absolute tear. I know most people have her in the top two, three, or four wrestlers of the year in all of wrestling, rightfully so, because she's having a tremendous year. And this main event is something I cannot wait to watch and review with you, partner.
No, it's going to be very good. And for those interested, as I mentioned, the card has been announced in full. It's going to be on Shinjuku Face in Tokyo on Monday, the 29th of July, 2024. Speaking of ways to watch things, Spark Joshi, our friends over at Spark Joshi, have announced their own sort of streaming service called Joshi Plus. This comes with the announcement that you'll be able to watch their Spark and Colors show, main evented, of course, by Starlight Kid's defense of the Spark Joshi World Championship. You're going to be able to watch that on their service. I'm not entirely sure how much it costs, actually, so while I throw it to Matt, I will have a look. But Matt, more good news coming out of Spark Joshi.
Yeah, we've been able to talk to, I did an interview with Alyssa Marino maybe about 2 months ago, who's the main commentator for Spark Joshi, and she's absolutely fantastic at what she does and an even better human being. So that's, you know, good for her. That the, you know, more listeners will be able to hear her fantastic commentary, and obviously the owner of Spark, CB, who's done a fantastic job with that company thus far. And considering the fact that she's only ran a handful of shows and only been running for, I believe, a little bit over a year, was able to do shows all over the United States. Obviously, did the show in Japan, and then of course had that big show WrestleMania weekend, literally hours before we had to trek off to the Lincoln Financial Field. There in Philadelphia, that show at the Monster Factory, that she had Aja Kong and Tam and Azumi and Starlight Kid, and put the Spark World Joshi, our World Championship, on Starlight Kid. So yeah, that's good on them. It's just an easier service for us to watch this new company, and we 100% We 100% back up and support the fine folks at Spark Joshi, and we hope you fantastic listeners do the same.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can sign up to the actual service for free, but then you will have to buy the pay-per-views. So as it currently stands, the Spark and Colors show, which is called Kawai Shimai, it's available for $19.99 on the service. And then currently we have Ignite West 2023 and Ignite East 2023, where you can buy the individual matches for $1.99 each as well. So if you want to watch Starlight Kid versus Momoka Hanazano for that Spark Joshi World Championship, then you can, and that is the way you can. JoshiPlus.com. I know that obviously Marigold announced their cards for this upcoming weekend, the 29th of June in Sendai Pit, and the Mirai Homecoming show in Iwate, the Miyoko City Sea Arena, on Sunday the 30th of June. But we'll get into those announcements obviously after we've talked about the three shows that we are going to be talking about. What I did just want to mention to everyone is that both of these shows will be video on demand. As you know, and as Sunny and the Marigold Twitter pages have already confirmed, if it's outside Tokyo, at least for the meantime, it will be video on demand. However, shows in Tokyo, as proved by Sunday's Shinkiba show, then they will be aired live. Matt, enough dilly-dallying. Let's talk about these shows. So we're going to start on the 15th of June, KBS Hall in Kyoto. 357 people in attendance. Just for a little bit of comparison, the highest attendance for KBS Hall this year was actually achieved by All Japan. They got 572 people into the venue as part of their Excite Series tour. That was main evented by an AJPW World Tag Team title match between Hideki Suzuki and Sawama and Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi. In terms of Stardom, they drew 511 people not so long ago, which was a big number, but then drew 369 and 391 respectively to the next two shows. So 357 is sort of in line with what I imagine Marigold were expecting. It does outdraw a handful of Dragon Gate shows that Dragon Gate ran throughout this year as well, although they did get one that drew 400 people. But the results are as follows, and then we'll talk about it in a little bit more detail. In your opener, Bozilla murdered Minami Komomo in 2 minutes and 28 seconds with a powerbomb. We had the first round of the Superfly Championship Tournament. Misa Matsui defeated Myla Grace in 6 minutes and 46 seconds with the European Clutch. In another match from that tournament, Natsumi Shiozuki defeated Zeta Steel in 10 minutes and 19 seconds, pinning her after a diving double knee drop. Tag team action in your semi-main event. Mai Sakurai and Miko Ono versus Nagisa Nozaki and Sari ended in a 15-minute time limit draw, though it did set up a couple of matches that I am very, very excited to see later on down the line. And then in your six-woman main event, we had Koki Amare, Mirai, and Utami Hayashishita defeating the team of Chikagoto, Nao Ishikawa, and Victoria Yuzuki in 16 minutes and 4 seconds, Mirai pinning Ishikawa with a lariat. I feel like we'd be remiss, Mr. Turner, if we did not talk about this opener first, because it's 2 minutes and 28 seconds, and you might ordinarily think, well, what can you achieve in 2 minutes and 28 seconds? Well, for Pokemomo, you can achieve a lot. She did take it to Bozilla, she really, really did, but Bozilla was having absolutely none of it. And she came out of this match looking like the biggest killer to end all killers. I loved it. Admittedly, poor Minami gets very little out of this, but I feel like that's probably not the story going into this. She's a rookie. She's two matches in at this point. You know, she's got chance to grow. However, for Bozilla, who is literally dispensing with parts of this roster as though they are absolutely nothing, heading into the United National Tournament, this was the absolute best way to do it. Under 3 minutes and destroying her with an absolutely earth-shattering powerbomb.
Yeah, I mean, Manami, she comes into this one. She's not scared of Bozilla. You know, as you mentioned, I believe it's her third match. She comes out firing on all cylinders. Bozilla just stands there, as rightfully so. That's her character. That's her gimmick, which she's, you know, 10 out of 10, hitting it out of the park, and then just beats up the poor rookie and pins her. And this pretty much is going to, obviously, we know that Bozilla is going to be in that United tournament final coming up at Sumo Hall. We don't know yet who her opponent's going to be, because again, we'll get into it. We've had a whole bunch of time limit draws, and we're getting the match so nice that Rocio Gal is giving it to us thrice. But
nice, if it is going like to, the yes, rhyme that you that. Did there,
unbelievable. That just came right out, my man. Sometimes I get lucky. I wrested really well last night. Anywho, but if they do go with Mirai and Bozilla, which that I think that might be the proper way to go, but I won't say no to Miko Anno. Anywho, if they do Mirai and Bozilla, Bozilla can use this as a promo saying, this rookie, it took you 14 minutes to beat. I destroyed this rookie in less than 3. Clearly, I'm going to destroy you when you, so I can win this white belt at Sumo Hall. So that's a route they can go down. It's an easy story, an easy promo for Bozilla to tell. But yeah, the poor Manami, the rookie, just gets eaten up here alive. But obviously, better days are coming for her.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, we'll talk about her showing in Osaka in the next couple, not Osaka, in Nagoya, sorry, in the next couple of minutes. And I thought she did fairly well there. In terms of the Superfly tournament, I'm going to be talking a lot about Zeta Steel because I think she is vastly, vastly improving. And I think she is starting to fit in really well with the roster. And I think in many ways, even though her character is very much heelish teenage brat, which I think she plays very, very well, she's somehow managed to get herself over as a babyface, which we'll be talking about after the Shinkiba show, which goes to show just how well she's doing only a year into her career. But what did you think about this Myla Grace Misa Matsui match? Because I think it certainly had potential. And I think you saw flashes, certainly, of what Myla Grace can do. However, it never quite reached the upper echelon for me. And I know it's only a first round match, and I know that we basically wanted to get to the final. We all knew we were going to get to Misa Matsui and Natsumi Shozuki. But I feel like we didn't quite get the best of Myla Grace in this match. And I don't know if that was just me, if I'm being hypercritical, but I was wondering what you thought about that.
Partner, I see your point there. I'm going to disagree with you slightly. I really enjoyed this match. I understand it went less than 7 minutes. Maybe if it got another 45 seconds, maybe to a minute, it would have got to maybe what you would have rated at a higher star mark. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask you your star ratings here in a moment, because I actually had match 2 and 3 the same star rating. I had it 3 3/4 stars, even though I like Natsumi and Zeta Steel a little bit better. But I thought Myla, this was her best showing. Zeta Steel is better each and every time that she comes out. Not only bell to bell, but curtain to curtain, she really is getting into her character that is getting over with an audience that they don't speak the same language. So kudos to her being able to do that in just a few short months. But I like the booking of this, how this was back to back. So we already know, okay, Natsumi won. So now we know that we're getting, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, partner, this final match is going to be at Sumo Hall on the 13th of July, correct?
It is indeed, yes.
Okay. I mean, what a stacked card. So now it's like these two matches happen back to back. You get both these segments done with entrances, probably 21, 22 minutes, because you have a 7-minute match and a 10-minute match. So you get both these segments done in 21, 22 minutes, give or take, and then you have a stare off, and boom, there you go. That's our match. We're not going to have match 2, and then, you know, Shozaki shows up, and then they get in each other's face. It's easy to follow. Back to back, two really good matches. Again, 3 3/4 stars for me on both these matches, and now we're set up for the finals for the super flyweight championship coming up on Sumo Hall. So to answer your question, I really enjoyed it. I liked Natsumi Shozaki and Zeta Steel a little bit better, but I thought Myla Grace was great here. She's able to keep up with a lot of the technical wrestling and a lot of the high speed style offense of Misa Matsui. I thought this was her best outing, considering the fact that going into this show, she might have been the one that's kind of maybe not getting left behind, but that's not catching on as quick as everybody else. At the same time, I'm always a big advocate of, you know, if you stay at it long enough, you work at it long enough and hard enough, and you put your heart into anything, you can literally, you know, be at the top of any profession in the world. So Myla Grace kind of wasn't there just yet, but this match and then the rest of these matches we're going to talk about really show that now she's starting to pick things up a lot quicker than she was doing a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And I'm really interested to see what she's going to do with her tour here in Marigold. But again, I thoroughly enjoyed both these matches and genius booking from the Hatman having these back to back.
Agree with having both those matches back to back. I do just want to clarify by saying that this wasn't a bad match by any stretch of the imagination. I actually think Myla Grace is improving. And actually, her technical wrestling right at the start with Misa was really good. And actually, for me, one of the best bits of the match. I think she's got a very high energy moveset, Myla. And I think getting that into and sort of trying to mix that with working the Japanese style, whereas Zayda's got a very basic moveset. You know, she's not, apart from the suicide dive, there's nothing flashy, whereas Myla's, which goes with her sort of R&B hip-hop dancer gimmick that she has, I think she's just at the moment struggling to find a balance between working a Japanese style and sort of getting in that flashy moveset. I think this was the best we saw, absolutely. I think slowly but surely, she is certainly managing to get that niche for herself. And I think, again, the longer she stays in, the better it's going to be. I think it could have just been that it didn't go as long as I wanted it to. Maybe it felt like just as we were kicking it into third gear, we ended it. But again, no disrespect to Myla. The story's not about her. The story is about Misa. The story is about Natsumi. I did prefer the Natsumi and Zayda Steel match. Again, I think Zayda Steel's character's working really well. And I think because she has got a far more basic moveset than Myla Grace, it's easier for her to concentrate on the stylings and things like that. But I think, and you know, on the next night in Nagoya, both women teamed together, Zayda Steel and Myla Grace, and I thought they worked really well together. So again, improvements are obvious. I gave the Misa and Myla Grace match 3 stars. I gave Zayda Steel and Natsumi Shozuki 3.25. Thought they were both good matches, but I did prefer Zayda Steel and Natsumi. The time limit draw, Matt. It turns out you can take the Hatman out of Stardom, but you can't take the time limit draw out of the Hatman. And I'm not too bothered about that either. What this did do, aside from being a blockbuster match, which I really enjoyed, especially Mai Sakurai being able to hang with these three people, which again, you know, we talked about this last week. If you'd have said to me that Mai Sakurai was going to be in a match with Mika Aono, Nagisa Nozaki, and Sari, and would be, you know, would be hanging well with them, you know, there was no comedy here, there was no Paradise Lock, it was just, I am here to try and hang and to hurt you. And I have all the respect in the world for her because I genuinely think that her progress has been incredible to the point where she doesn't feel like an outlier in a matchup like this. If anything, her exchanges with Sari were some of the most entertaining and most engaging moments of what was a very, very, very good match. However, what do I have to do, Santa Rossi, to get Mika Aono and Sari in a singles match? What do I have to do, Matt Turner?
Just to touch upon the Mai Sakurai stuff. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I guess maybe the biggest compliment we can give her at this time is what she's been doing these past 3 or 4 shows reminds me of the year progress from 2021 to 2022 of Mina Shirakawa. I know we both, back in 2021, Mina was a good hand in the ring. She was in the ring with somebody that was really good, can kind of pull her up to a 4-star match. It was basically, you know, just someone in the middle of the card. And then by 2022, she was a constant main eventer. And here, fast forward 2 years later in 2024, she's going to be wrestling in front of a few thousand people at Forbidden Door and is a constant main eventer for Stardom. That's kind of what Sakurai feels like here. You know, we talked about in the very first Marigold show that it was a fresh coat of paint for Mirai, and she's going to break out to be a huge, huge star for Marigold in the upcoming years. Sakurai is right there. I mean, geez, she's just been coming in with the kicks and the forearms, and her timing. Her timing was always good. It's better. Her psychology, ring positioning is top notch, and she was fantastic in this match. Nozaki was terrific as well. I've been waiting for her to really pull the trigger into that main event level that I know she can get at. You know, her and Miko Ano, their exchanges were really good. But yeah, Miko Ano and Sari, my man. That is clearly a money match that they were teasing a little bit here. I would not be shocked, because it does seem like that they are trying to tease towards Sari and Julia. Not only being a dream match coming up in Sumo Hall, but that being for the first red belt champion, with Julia eventually going over here to the States to go to work for WWE and NXT. I wouldn't be shocked if Sari walks out of that match as the first red belt champion, and maybe one of her first challengers, Mr. Rob Goodwin, is one Miko Ano. I mean, that's a great way to start off your title reign. But yeah, this match was terrific. Timing was good. Pacing was good. Everything built up. It built up to a completely different level when Sari and Miko Ano got in the ring together. This was my favorite match of this show. I actually had it 4.25 stars. Obviously, we're going to be joking quite a bit of all these time limit draws that we got over these three shows. But at the same time, I didn't mind it. And the Mirai matches we're going to talk about in a little bit, I didn't mind it here. It made sense. Everybody looked good in this match. Everybody got over and built up their stocks coming out of this match. Basically, what I'm trying to say, partner, is that everybody came out of this match better than they did going in. And all four of these wrestlers were all already built up pretty well before the bell rang.
Yeah, agreed. And again, it sort of worked its way into that singles match that me and you had billed for Corican Hall. It turns out I was on the show that had already been announced and we just didn't realise. We'd somehow managed to skate over that. But yeah, Sari versus Mai Sakurai was actually on the next night in Nagoya. So yeah, sorry about that. We apparently that just slipped our minds. I don't exactly know how, but there we are. Again, I know this sounds really harsh, and I don't want it to, but also I think it shows just how much of progress Mai Sakurai's made, is that I didn't care about her that much in Stardom towards the end. You know, I thought her stuff was funny, but I didn't really care about her as a wrestler, if that makes sense. And now we are, what, 9 shows into Marigold's history, and suddenly Mai Sakurai is one of the most intriguing characters on the roster, not just as a character, but also in ring, where she is able to fully engage with Sari, who for many, many people is the number one wrestler in the world, irrespective of gender. Teaming with Miko Ono, you know, against someone who hits extremely hard in Nagisa Nozaki, and again, not feeling like she is the outlier. And I think that's the biggest compliment that I can pay to her, is that I now care about Mai Sakurai, whereas I didn't towards the end of Stardom. And actually, when we found out that who the 7 were going to be that were sort of vacating, well, 6, and then we had Nao Ishikawa, but the 6 that were leaving Stardom to join Marigold, Mai Sakurai, and we've spoken about this before, Mai Sakurai was sort of the one like, okay, well, how is she going to fit into this roster? And it turns out she's fitting in very, very well, and I'm very, very happy for her. Main event then, Matt. Mirai decapitates another person with a lariat, which is always fun. But again, I just found myself drawn to two people in this match. Utami, we already know. Utami Haishi is one of the best wrestlers in the world, one of the best female wrestlers in the world, certainly. Mirai, incredible talent, and we are seeing more of a focus being put on her, and she seems to be thriving in that. However, Marigold seemed very, very high on Koki Amore. They've teamed her a lot with Utami, want to get even more eyes on her, apparently. She is the only, at the time of recording, the only unbeaten wrestler in Marigold. So clearly they have something in store for her. And now on the other side, Victoria Yuzuki. Again, every time I see Yuzuki wrestle, I think to myself, how on earth is this woman only, what, 9 months into her career? 7 months into her career? And yet she has picked up all of those intangibles. When I'm talking about Koki Amore and why I'm such a fan, she has got that charisma, that all eyes on me sort of feel. And even in a match with a Mirai, with an Utami, with a Yuzuki, you were still looking at her. Victoria Yuzuki, she has picked up all of those things in ring that you shouldn't be picking up 2 or 3 years into your career, and yet she's picking them up like that. Don't know if you can pick that up on the mic, but I am clicking. She's picking them up so quickly, and things that she's picking up in one match, she's immediately utilizing in the next one. And everything from the emotion that she's giving to the story she's trying to tell in Ring, she deserves huge, huge credit, because I think genuinely she's talked about she wants to be the number one person in Marigold, and yes, we all think that's going to happen. Genuinely, the amount of good that she has done that star as it continues to rise is incredible. This match, really good match, but I wanted to focus specifically on Koki Amore and Victoria Yuzuki, Matt.
Rob, you made a lot of good points, and I completely 100% agree with you, but I'm going to add on to that, and I'm going to talk about Chika Goto.
I knew you would. As soon as I said, I knew you would pick up on Chika Goto.
Yeah, and obviously now Ishikawa was great. Mirai, I think she's gonna have a pretty decent wrestling career. I think she's gonna do well for herself. I'm just gonna throw that one out. And I'm glad they didn't. I know a lot. Hot take. And another hot take is I know after the first three or four Marigold shows, a lot of the fans thought they were building Utami Hayashizaki. They were burying her because she was losing in tag matches. I'm really glad that Marigold decided not to bury Utami Hayashizaki because clearly they see that she has a future in this wrestling company.
Maybe folks, in a couple of years.
Yes. Folks, I'm obviously joking and trying to pop Rob, which I did. So Chika Goto is great for a lot of different reasons. And again, I've never seen her in any other wrestling company other than Marigold. And she hasn't even been on all the shows. I think the third or fourth show she missed. So she's only been on six or seven of these shows, but she's very infectious with the crowd when she comes out from her entrance. Again, she has the catchphrase, the go, go, Chika, which on the very first show, I'm like, oh my God, this person has not locked up yet. She already knows how to connect with this audience in front of 1,500 people in Cork and Hall. She's going to be terrific. She's great in the ring. I love the bitch she had in this match because Utami and Yuzuki get into the match and they get it heated, and obviously Yuzuki is in over her head because Utami's Utami, right? Mm-hmm. And then Goto's just like, well, you know, it's a tag match. I can come in and help out my tag partner, and she does, and she helps out Ishikawa as well. So different parts in the match was just like, okay, my tag partner's getting beat up. Let me come in and get an advantage to help out. And then her and Koki Amore have a really, really good slugfest. Obviously, we know what the top three or four matches are going to be for Sumo Hall. We don't know where Chika Goto fits in. We don't know where Koki Amore fits in. I would love to see these two have a special singles match. Maybe even to start out the show. Maybe, I don't know if they have a YouTube channel, but maybe if they debut the YouTube channel like a week before the show and they say, you know, they pull a Stardom where they give you a match free onto the show, which, sidebar, they gave us FWC versus Wingori for free on YouTube. Hello, that was smart. Like, geez, thank you. But can you imagine if they're like, yeah, we're starting a YouTube channel like in the first week of July, which is next week, crazy, and we're going to give you the first match on Summer Destiny for free, and it's going to be a special singles match with Chika Goto and Koki Amore. I think that'd be a really, really good way to start hooking people in to Marigold who aren't already hooked in. Match was great. I gave it 4 stars. Terrific. 16 minutes. Didn't go too short. Didn't go too long. Went the perfect time. And yes, you mentioned before about how Bozilla might have got arrested for murder in match one. The last move we see here, poor Victoria Yuzuki. She almost got decapitated by one Mariah. These lariats are just coming fast and furious. But everybody comes out of this match, again, very much like match four with a time limit draw. Everybody comes out of this match, win or lose, they actually look better coming out of this match. Obviously, we're building Mariah up for what is going to be a main event level match at Sumo Hall. Obviously, Utami has the dream matches of dream matches. Now Ishikawa, they're doing something interesting with her at Sumo Hall, which we'll get into. Victoria Yuzuki, partner, I mean, what else can I say that you haven't already said? But yeah, I'm very, very high on Chika Goto, and obviously Koki Amore. They seem to be having some high expectations for, considering the fact that she's the only one that has not eaten L here in Marigold. Really good stuff. Really good way to end this solid, solid show. Again, 4 stars for me, my friend.
Yeah, I gave it 3 3/4. Both Koki Amore and Chika Goto have appeared on 7 of the 9 Marigold shows. I know that they have got, obviously, outside commitments. When you said, I know they've got a YouTube channel, I thought you meant Chika Goto and Koki Amore. I was like, do they? I've now realized you meant Marigold.
You piqued my interest, buddy. Look at that. See, I sold you on something that wasn't there that you just sold to me. So what a team.
What a team. But yes, I do like Chika Goto. She's another one who brings something a little bit different, even if it's just the hardest ass in pro wrestling, apparently. But her and Koki Amore could do something very, very good. I wouldn't be surprised to see, at least initially, to see them be in that Marigold tag team division as the Twin Towers. Maybe getting through to the final of the tournament, of the Twin Star tournament. Who knows? We'll see when that is announced. Maybe it will be announced over Rhea Goku, or maybe it will be announced before, during their Summer Dream Tour. Who knows? Let's talk then about the show the following day. This was from Nagoya in Aichi, the Nagoya International Conference Hall. 687 people in attendance. The card is as follows. Opening with a tag match, the team of Chiaki and Misa Matsui defeated the team of Myla Grace and Zeta Steel. Chiaki pinning Myla Grace with the Moonwolf in 12 minutes and 2 seconds. In a three-way match, Chika Goto defeated Kimomo Minami and Victoria Yuzuki, pinning Kimomo Minami with the inside cradle in 3 minutes and 28 seconds. Teaming once more, Utami Hayashishita and Koki Amore defeated Nao Ishikawa and Natsumi Shaozuki in 14 minutes and 40 seconds, Utami pinning Nao with the German suplex. In a singles match, Sari defeated Mei Sakurai in 11 minutes and 17 seconds with the Uranagi. In the first round of the Marigold United National Championship Tournament, we had Bozilla inflicting the first loss on Nagisa Nozaki in 7 minutes and 32 seconds, obliterating her with a reverse sit-out pile driver. And then in your main event, the second first-round match from that tournament, Miku Ono and Mirai went to a 15-minute time limit draw and then went another 5 minutes and still could not be separated. So as of the end of this show, Bozilla was through to the final at Rhea Goku, but we don't know who she will be against. Matt Turner, what did we think of this show?
I think the show was really good. Sorry, I'm having some technical issues here with what I'm doing here. I thought it was really good. I thought we had a really good, solid opener to start the show. Again, I liked the team of Zeta Steel and Myla Grace together.
Yeah.
I hope they are a tag team in that tournament. I hope they don't do the finals of this tournament at Sumo Hall. I think there's just too much going on with championships, considering the fact, again, we may have the red belt champion declared there. We know we're having the white belt and the super flyweight. Maybe you stack that undercard with the first round of the tag division. Now maybe we have one or two tag matches, and then, hey, at the next Cork, and we'll crown the champions there. I would love to see Myla Grace and Zeta Steel in that tournament, regardless if they don't get any wins or they go on to the next round. I think they work really, really well together. And plus, they're the two foreigners, the current foreigners, that aren't Bozilla in the tournament. So I think that their characters play off really well to each other, you know, with the dancing and the spoiled brat thing and the fact that they kind of have like a more higher impact offense. I thought they were really well here. I did not know that Chiaka's finisher, which I have listed as a JP coaster, was the Moonwolf. So kudos to Yusuf for always giving me great info. So now I will know that. That's a cool name. Obviously, Misa Matsui, she's terrific here. I thought this was a good way to start the show. I had it at 3.25 stars.
Yeah, it was a really good match. And again, that sort of chemistry between Zeta Steel and Myla Grace was really entertaining. I thought the crowd was a bit flat to start off with. They only really started waking up, I feel, around the Koki Amore match. But yeah, I thought they worked really well. I thought they worked the crowd really well as well. The after sort of post-match was really good as well, with Zeta Steel saying, "But I didn't lose, did I?" And Myla Grace having to remind her that, yeah, but we're a team. So we both lost. And Zeta's, "No, you got pinned. I didn't get pinned. I haven't lost." So I thought that was really good. But yeah, a good enough opener. I think it was good for Chiaki to get a definitive pinfall and to get a bit of the spotlight, because, you know, we've talked a lot about Misa Matsui. We've talked, obviously, just about the Twin Towers, Koki Amore and Chika Goto. We've talked about how we are so high on Miko Ono, but I feel like we haven't really spoken about Chiaki, and I don't feel like she's had the spotlight of the others. And I think it was good for her to get a little bit more of a spotlight in this match, a little bit more highlighting, and to get the victory over Myla. So yeah, I enjoyed this match as well, and I think it did what it needed to do in terms of an opener. Someone else who I don't feel we give enough credit to is Natsumi Shaozuki, who we both really, really enjoy, and apparently needs to remember that other people need to be able to walk at the end of a match, because goodness gracious me if she's not taking Hazuki mode to heart. Because good grief, some of the kicks she threw between this match and then the one the previous night, they were ringing around Nagoya, weren't they? Especially poor Koki, who was trying desperately to stay out of the way of these kicks. And Natsumi, who very much felt like a disciplinarian school teacher at points during this match, was having to sit her back up and then deliver another one into her spine. Sit her back up, deliver another one into her spine. It did feel at one point like you were starting to feel a little bit sorry for Koki as she was being absolutely blitzed by Shozuki, especially when she first came in for that hot tag mat.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, we just made mention, especially you made mention how much you love Koki Amore. Obviously, Utami Hayashisa, she's in this match. Now Ichikawa, I love what they're doing with her. They're starting her from the bottom. She's having great matches, even with losses. But I think you'll agree with me when I say the clear MVP of this great match was Natsumi Shozuki.
Without a doubt.
And I think that was by design. And the reason why I say that is, obviously, we've been watching Utami Hayashista. I mean, between me and you, we've seen every single one of her matches probably since 2020. We know that Utami Hayashista, in these tag matches where she doesn't need to be the main focal point, she makes sure when this match is getting put together, the person that needs to get over gets over. Mm. This match did not need to be about Utami Hayashista, even though she does get the win over now Ichikawa with the German suplex. The same point, it's Natsumi Shozaki that got over with Koki Amore, again, the only undefeated wrestler in this company. Utami Hayashisa, their clear ace. Obviously, she's in that dream match with Io. There's a reason why. But everybody did a great job highlighting Natsumi Shozaki here. She was terrific. Yeah, those kicks. I love how when she's building her offense up and she either hits like a slam, a lariat, or 9 times out of 10, a kick, and her opponent bumps, and they bump as if they're trying to get out of the ring to get out of harm's way. And she runs from one side of the rope to the other, springboards off the second rope, and then jams the knees down. And it's like, I like that. It's like the opponent's trying to get away. She's like, oh, no, I'm not done doing damage yet. And then the opponent runs out of the way to calm the crowd down so then she can get her, you know, she can get her big pop from her move, and the opponent comes back in, and then there's usually a double team or a tag out. I like that psychology there. Again, she very much like Miko Anno, she's someone that I'm really, really high on, considering the fact that before Marigold started, I knew nothing about. I think she's terrific here. I'm really looking forward to her match at Sumo Hall. She was great here, and again, Utami Hayashista, we have a whole different roster for her to work with. Obviously, we'll probably get that Julia match that we never got in Stardom. That's got to come somewhere down the line. We just talked about Utami versus Miko Anno. We're going to talk about it a little bit with Utami and Sari. Yes, please. But Utami versus Natsumi Shozaki, that's a matchup that I think everybody wants as well. Again, this match was great. She was the MVP of this match. 4 stars for me, sir.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I feel like, you know, I'm going to keep making Hazuki comparisons, and I apologize to anyone that doesn't like that, but I feel like in comparing
like
her
that.
To, well, yeah, that's a good point. In comparing her to Hazuki, I mean that she can be plugged into anything and she will do a fantastic job. And we saw in the Marigold Fields Forever match, in that tag match, she was the person who held everything together. She's the glue. And I feel like that's the case more often than not. And I think, even though necessarily she isn't the focus, similar to Utami, I know that Utami comes in with significantly more star power, but in a similar way, if she doesn't need to be the focus, she's not the focus. But here, I feel like she was highlighted well, similar with Chiaki in that first match. And I think the good thing that would come from an Utami and Natsumi Shozuki match is that Utami is a phenomenal seller. You know, we've seen it again and again and again and again. And that reign with the red belt really helped Utami in that area of a game. And I think selling the stiffness of the kicks from Natsumi would really help to get her over as a force. You know, we don't know the fate of the red belt, obviously. However, if Utami is going to hold that red belt, which she absolutely 100% is, at some point in Marigold's history, Utami is going to be a red belt champion. That just is going to happen. If you were to give me an Utami versus Natsumi challenge, I would be all over that because, yes, we know that Utami would probably retain. However, Shozuki would be made to look like an absolute threat from the word go. And again, some of the pace of Natsumi Shozuki's attacks are so frightening. And we've spoken about Himika the same as when she builds that head of steam and she comes charging in. It's the pace that's so frightening. And Shozuki is the exact same, especially when she's charging into the corner with those double knees. Really, really is a hugely terrifying person. I really, really like her. I really do. And I know she's probably not going to get the Superfly title. I imagine we're building towards Misa Matsui. We talked about this last week on the Marigold Standard. But I would not be worried at all if Shozuki was to get that belt. And that match, which, as we've already said, is going to be made, is sort of official now for Rio Goku, Misa Matsui versus Natsumi Shozuki for the Superfly title, that is going to blow people away because you've got that high-speed style of Misa Matsui, but you've also got that brutish sort of style of Natsumi Shozuki as well to bounce off. And if you're to give them 10, 11 minutes, I guarantee, especially if you were to put that on first as the opener of that show, that's going to do gangbusters. It really, really, really is. Sari versus Mei Sakurai then in singles action, probably the lock of the night in terms of who we thought was going to win. How do you think Mei Sakurai fared in a singles setting against Sari?
I thought this was Mei Sakurai's best match. And I think I might have said that last week or the week before. She's constantly getting better. And you made mention before about how when she was in Stardom, especially the last handful of months, she was just kind of a gimmick. She's kind of just basically the cherry on top of what was a good match. And I think and I'll back you up on that statement. I think one of the reasons why is she just got lost in the shuffle of that stacked Stardom roster. You have Tam, Shuri, Mayu, Mina, Natsupoi, Momo, so on and so forth. Where here she's getting time. Like, she would have never gotten 12 minutes with a Mayu on a Cork and Hall show. Like, it just wouldn't have happened. Just not dealt in the cards. Where here she's getting close to 12 minutes with Sari, who's absolutely crushing it this year. And again, it's these little things that Rossi Ogawa has done. They built this match up. They basically took Julia's injury. It's like, okay, obviously we can't avoid injury. Unfortunately, it happens. We mentioned it before with Fujimoto. Unfortunately, injuries happen. How can we turn this into a positive? Well, we know Julia and Mai Sakurai are buddies because they're in DDM, the Berry Berry Bombers. Let's build this up to build Sakurai up to give her a match with Sari to build going towards that match until Julia heals for Sumo Hall. And this was basically the blow off of a small, small story, and rightfully so. Oh, and this did well. Obviously, Sari wins. She gets the big blitz at the end, but Sakurai holds her own, going shot for shot, forearm for forearm, kick for kick with Sari. Not only that, but she kicks out of that brutal top rope double stomp from Sari that not a lot of wrestlers do. So good on Sari giving Sakurai and building her up in that match to ultimately beat her at the 11-minute and change mark with the exploder. I thought Sakurai was great here. She continues to get better. I continue to get more and more impressed with her as these shows go on. She's one of the wrestlers on this really stacked Marigold roster that I look forward to the most. 3 3/4 stars for me, my friend. I thought as far as a singles match goes, this was Mai Sakurai's best outing.
Yeah, it sort of goes back to what we've said before. It's not who loses, it's how you lose. And I think these Grand Opening Wars shows have been about establishing the roster that aren't necessarily the stars people knew about. You know, people who've come into this as fans of Stardom will know, you know, Utami, will know Julia, you know, might even know Sari, but, and definitely know Mirai, but, you know, people like Mei Sakurai, or Mai Sakurai, should I say, they might not necessarily realize what she can do in terms of actual in-ring. And here, she's been highlighted over the last couple of shows as someone that, even though she's lost here, has still proved that she can hang. And that's really, really, really important. Again, kicked out of the double knee, the double foot stomp from the second rope, which, again, sorry, did not hold anything back there. Really did plant herself right into Mai's midriff. But again, it's not about the fact that she lost. Everyone knew Sari was going to win. Sari is not going to get her first loss in a Marigold ring to, no disrespect, Mai Sakurai. However, if Mai Sakurai can show some resilience, can show some determination, can hang in there with Sari, then people are going to start thinking, oh, actually, she's so much more than a comedy character. Oh, wow, she's, you know, look at this determination, look at this fighting spirit, and suddenly you've got another person that you can plug into a match that is, you know, is going to deliver every single time. And again, full credit to Mai Sakurai, because I do think that her progress has been phenomenal, and there's probably only Mirai for me that has benefited more from this change of scenery than Mai Sakurai. So Bo Zilla, as I mentioned, is the first person into the United National Tournament final at Ryogoku, dispensing with Nagisa Nozaki, who certainly gave Bo Zilla her toughest challenge so far, even though I say toughest in inverted commas because the match only went 7 minutes. Did not expect her to break out the sit-out pile driver, though, Matt.
That was an insane finish. We've been seeing her use the Vader bomb. She broke out the moonsault on that first Korakuen show. And then we've been seeing her use the power bomb as a finisher. All great finishers, the way that she's able to use her size and strength into her character, they all make sense. And she builds the moves up really well. It's really great, easy story psychology for Bo Zilla, who again really knows who Bo Zilla is. And that's just the benefit to everybody. But then she just like launches this like explosive pile driver. Like, holy geez, like, is this like going to be like almost like her ultra finisher that maybe we see time to time in the bigger matches? Because obviously she has made mention that she does want to win the United National title. She wants to be the first champion. And she just figured the way to dispense of Nozaki, or really took it to Bo Zilla. Again, 7.5 minutes. They were able to tell a really good story, regardless of who comes out of the Mirai versus Miko Ono match. I think they're going to have the same psychology going up against Bo Zilla, because Mirai, very much like Nozaki and very much like Miko Ono, they're hard hitters. So you're going to be chopping down that big tree, basically trying to take down the monster that is Bo Zilla. And that's what Nozaki tries to do here. It wasn't enough firepower. And speaking of firepower, yeah, that pile driver, that was absolutely insane. I was like, well, geez, I guess that's going to be the end of the match. We don't need the power bomb or the Vader bomb. Ultimately, a really good match, 3 3/4 stars for me. But now another big weapon into the arsenal that is Bo Zilla, my friend.
Yeah, because she needed more firepower, didn't she? Let's be honest. I want to talk a little bit about where Bo Zilla stands when we get to the end of our podcast, because I'm really intrigued, because Bo Zilla has gotten over incredibly well with the Japanese fan base. And we know that her tour is going to be longer, I think, than Zeta Steel and Myla Grace. It's certainly a longer tour. I don't know if I've just made up that it's longer than Myla Grace and Zeta Steel's, but I want to sort of talk about, okay, so say she doesn't win at Sumo Hall, where does she go from there? Or maybe she does win at Sumo Hall. I want to get your opinion on that in a little bit. But before we do, Miko Ono versus Mirai. The first of two, spoilers, time limit draws between the two. I absolutely love this partnership. And controversially perhaps, I love the fact that we've done two time limit draws. I love the fact that we've effectively had 40 minutes over two shows of these two, and we cannot get a winner. These two lit just a battle of attrition. I think it's probably right that we put the two matches between this match at Nagoya on the 16th and the rematch that they'd have at Shinkiba the following week. I think we should talk about both together so that we get some continuity. I thought these were brilliant. Both women hitting incredibly hard, targeting limbs, putting everything on the line, breaking out brand new offense. We saw a completely different, aggressive side of Miko Auna, where she's literally just kicking Mirai's legs out from underneath her on the outside of the ring. You've got Mirai, who in the first match was still very smile to the crowd and wave, and you saw this complete difference in her in Shinkiba, where she's willing to win by count out at the end when Auna just gets in at the count of 19. She does not care how she wins by the end of that second match. She just wants to win. The fact that we have this absolute war of attrition between these two women, the fact as well that we switched roles. In the first match, Miko Auna worked Mirai's leg. In the second match, she worked her arm. In the first match, Mirai worked Miko Auna's arm, moved to the leg in the second match. Both trying different things, trying everything, throwing everything at each other to try and get that victory. And I think because Marigold sort of, in a bizarre way, sort of booked themselves into a corner, because you want both of these women to be in that title picture. You absolutely do. And rightly so, because they're tremendous. But you've also got to beat one of them. Well, how do you go about that? Because if you just have one of them go over clean, okay, it's a singles loss to the other one. However, in doing back-to-back time limit draws, you know that when we get that third one, which has already been announced, Sendai Pit, 29th of June, you know that when one of them finally gets that pinfall, it has taken absolutely everything for them to actually get to drag that win out. And you know it's not going to go 6 minutes. It's going to be another long match, maybe even another time limit draw, and then it's in the 5 minutes overtime that one of them finally just has to drag themselves over to get a victory. Ordinarily, I wouldn't like this. However, I am fully appreciative of the story, because if Mirai wins, goes on to face Bozilla, nobody is coming out of this and thinking, well, what about Miko Auna? Why has she just been dispatched? Why, you know, no, everyone's thinking, oh my God, it has taken Mirai three separate shows to beat Miko Auna. She is an absolute behemoth. She just will not lie down. And suddenly, the moment that she goes into a challenge for whoever gets that belt, everyone's thinking, it's going to take a lot to put her away. You have told a fantastic story over these two shows of tenacity, of fighting spirit. And I think you've really shone a different light on both of them. And I feel like both of them come out better. If I'm allowed to be hyper, hyper critical just for 1 second, the one very, very, very slight negative for me in the first match, I feel like Mirai needed to sell the leg more. And I know that she was selling it brilliantly when she had to roll out and she was getting absolutely abused on the outside by Miko Auna. However, the next move she did, she then rolled through the ropes and did a pop-up flatliner. And then she was running off the ropes. The second match, I feel like she sold it a lot better. She sold her injuries a lot better. However, there was a little bit of disparity. Miko Auna, I think, did a brilliant job of selling the arm throughout that first match. However, Mirai seemed to forget at points that her leg was injured. And that's me being hypercritical, because I loved both of these matches. The first match I gave 4.25 stars. The second one, almost solely for that final 5 minutes where you had got two exhausted competitors literally not knowing what else to do to put the other away, I gave it 4.5. I think this feud is one that I didn't know I needed in my life, but could be one that permeates many, many, many years into Marigold's history, and I am all here for it, Matt.
I agree with you. I had the first one at 4.25 stars and the next one at 4.5. You know, you made mention how they switched from, you know, the arm to the leg, you know, and they kind of, flipped the psychology there. On the other one, it makes sense where it's like Mirai was like, well, I went for the arm on match one. Let me go for the leg on match two because it didn't get the job done. Where Miko Auna's strategy was, I had 20 minutes where I took apart the arm. Let me go to the leg. So it kind of makes sense in that psychology where neither of these wrestlers were able to get it done. Yeah, if you were to tell me that any wrestling company booked a time limit draw, 5 minute overtime, time limit draw, and the next week they did the same exact thing, I was like, well, obviously you have, and I don't like anybody that's like, well, I didn't see the match, but here's what I heard and I'm going to comment it on it. That's, what are you doing? Don't comment it on it. That's just, you're not being professional. Obviously we knew when I knew that these were both back-to-back draws, I'm like, okay, it's Mirai, it's Miko Auna, my new favorite wrestler, going 40 minutes. I'm sure I'm going to like it. And then I watched it and I'm like, the booking makes sense. We have everybody strong. And then you have Bozilla. It's like, you ladies have had 40 minutes and still can't get a winner. I took apart Nozaki in less than 8 minutes. What are you doing? So that just builds up Bozilla, who's not even in the match. So she's just sitting there waiting. It's almost like, you know, in a playoff team where you have one person from one side winning the series in 4 games and the other one is taking 7 games to win. Like, come on. Like, I'm rested up here. I'm ready to play. Like, I'm ready for the next series. And that's what Bozilla's doing. And you're making Bozilla more of a badass. Consider the fact he had nothing to do with either of these matches. It's just the genius booking and the way that Mirai and Miko Ano tells their story. And again, I think it's going to be Mirai that comes out of this matchup this weekend as the winner. And if Mirai does go on to Sumo Hall and defeats Bozilla, which I'm going to give my early prediction, obviously this isn't our prediction show, I think it's going to be Bozilla that walks out of Sumo Hall with the United National Championship, the white belt. But at least for now, that's not my official prediction. I believe we'll probably have that show in a week or two because, yeah, again, we're right at the end of the month here. But say Mirai wins and then Miko Ano comes out and is our first challenger. Like, we know it's going to deliver. We just saw these wrestlers wrestle 3 times in a matter of 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it is. Like that, like we're already going to that. We already know we have a hot feud. That's an easy story to tell. There's a lot of different ways they can go about it. And a lot of the answers will probably be the right answer because of how hot they have Bozilla. Mirai already came into this company white hot. She was already a Wonder of Stardom champion, won the Cinderella tournament back to back. You mentioned, partner, a lot of the wrestling fans that are watching Marigold are very much like me and you. One, handsome, good looking, and they were Stardom fans. So they know who Mirai was before she even cut the curtain. And clearly a lot of the 1,500 people at Cork and Hall knew because she got a massive pop before she even stepped into the ring. So you already have that backstory with Mirai and you're getting Miko Ano. No disrespect to Actress Girls, but when you have Miko Ano, who's the ace of Actress Girls, is able to go toe-to-toe with Mirai for 40 minutes plus, you know, basically someone that was a main eventer in the big Joshi wrestling company that is Stardom, you're just building Miko Ano up even more. Like, you're just making her more of a star. And when if she does lose this match this weekend to Mirai, whether it's 15 minutes, whether it's 20 minutes, whether they decide to go to a third overtime and it goes 22-23, she already cemented herself as might be the number one contender for that white belt or number two or three contender for the red belt. Again, whether it's Sari, whether it's Julia coming out of that match, V2, V3 against Miko Ano. Yes, please. We just made mention. Utami Hayashista versus Miko Ano. That's a match that we obviously want to see and that we're going to get somewhere down the line. So they're doing a great job of teasing these singles matches because eventually they're going to plant the seeds for a bigger show, whether it's a pay-per-view, whether it's a title match with this loaded roster. But yeah, my friend, I can't really put it any better than what you said. I totally agree. Again, 4.25 stars from the first match, 4.5 stars for me on the second match. So if we're trending that way, maybe we hit 4.75 stars on the match this weekend. Unfortunately, I guess since you were a little negative, and I understand the could have sold the leg a little bit more, I'm going to be a little bit negative as well. And that is, I just wish the show this weekend was live streamed so I could see Mirai and Miko Ano do their thing one more time. But I completely understand the logistics of it. This is really, really great booking, considering the fact if you were writing it on paper, you're like, oh, that doesn't make sense at all. How is this going to get over? And of course, it got over because of the participants in the match, and the fact that we got 40 minutes plus, and we are not done, sir. We are not done. This can be the first really, really standard wrestling standard feud we have in Marigold is Mirai and Miko Ano.
You can really tell that story of them being intrinsically locked in whatever they do. You know, you've seen this sort of story play out with Micah and Saya Kamatani and people like that with Izumi and Starlight Kid. I know that there has been obviously a lot of different factors, age coming into the wrestling business at the same time, but you can tell those stories. We came into Marigold at the same time. We were, you know, some of the first people to step foot in a Marigold ring and, you know, we were the first ones to fight in that first tournament to fight for the white belt. I mean, we haven't spoken about this, but how much does this elevate the prestige of the white belt? The fact that you've got two women who simply will not die, no matter how much time has passed in these matches. It does wonders for the for the title. I think whoever wins is obviously going to come out as a favorite going in to beat Bozilla. I think whoever loses is still going to have a tremendous amount of sort of, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Yeah. I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of having lost after it taking two separate rematches to establish a winner. It's funny you should mention about Bozilla, because the reason I asked about what you would do with Bozilla is because actually I would also have her win. The reason I would have a win, and again, this could change in before our prediction show. The reason I would have her win is because you can still have this, you know, immovable object, this incredible force storyline with a title. And I think, you know, if she loses, and again, if she loses to whoever wins, Mirai or Miku Ano, I'm not particularly fussed. You know, if it comes to a point where Miku Ano comes out of Sumo Hall the victor, I'll be happy. Same with Mirai. But I think if you have Bozilla come out on top and then have a dominant 3-4 month run with that belt and then have either a Miku Ano or a Mirai dethrone her, I think you can do wonders for Bozilla as well as to the two women we've spent so much time talking about and waxing lyrical about. But again, I imagine that this will change when we get close to our predictions, and I'll be guessing that Mirai is going to win on all sorts. Let's talk then about the show that we saw on Sunday, the live stream of the show from Shinkiba. 289 people in attendance on the 23rd of June, which is Marigold's highest attendance at Shinkiba. Even if it's only by a couple of people, it's still good to hear that said. Singles match opening, Misa Matsui defeated Minami Komomo in 6 minutes and 51 seconds with the Mari Mari suplex. Singles match, Bozilla defeated Zeta Steel in 5 minutes and 27 seconds with the powerbomb. Lasted slightly longer than Minami, but not long. Nanae Takahashi defeated Naoi Ishikawa in 8 minutes and 53 seconds with the Lion Tamer. In a tag team match, the Twin Towers, Chika Goto and Koki Amore defeated Mai Sakurai and Victoria Yuzuki. Koki Amore pinning Victoria Yuzuki when she reversed a victory roll in 12 minutes and 3 seconds. Six-woman tag, Miley Grace, Nagisa Nozaki, and Sari defeated Chiaki, Natsumi Shozuki, and Utami Hayashishita in 13 minutes and 56 seconds, Sari pinning Chiaki with a diving double knees. And then, as we've already talked about, the Marigold United National Title Tournament first round rematch, Miku Ano versus Mirai went to a 15-minute time limit draw, and then in overtime went to another 5-minute time limit draw. The rematch, as I've already mentioned, has been announced for Sendai Pit. Matt Turner, what did you think of this show?
I thought the other two shows, as far as complete shows, were better. I thought they had the best match, again, with Mirai and Miko Ano. I thought they had the best match of the three shows, but I thought the other two shows we reviewed, as far as full shows, were a little bit better. I did like how Zeta Steel was trying to get on Bozilla's good side with a banana, and then Bozilla just decided to just destroy her. I thought that was fun. I think that's the, you just made mention that this squash match lasted a little bit longer. That's the reason why Zeta Steel was doing a little Memphis with the stalling with the banana. I thought that was funny. Again, Zeta Steel didn't get much in this match, but she got character work over and is able to connect again with an audience that doesn't speak the same language as her. So kudos to her for that. But I want to talk about the Passion Injection match with Naoi Ishikawa versus Nanae Takahashi. I thought this was really, really good. And I like the psychology of Takahashi going to Nao's leg, like the knee, the neighbor to submit her with the basically like the half crab or the lion tamer. I thought this was done really, really well. And then Takahashi got on the microphone to really, really amp up Naoi Ishikawa. Again, someone that is losing a lot of matches, but we're seeing a lot of character development with her. Even though she's on the L, even though the left side of her win-loss record has a big goose egg, they're doing a great job showing her passion, for lack of a better word, and basically her intensity for professional wrestling. So I thought that was really, really done really well. I had it at 3 3/4 stars, and for me, it was my second favorite match of the show.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm saying this a lot recently, but this is what I love about the Passion Injection matches, because you are getting so much out of them. Yes, Nanaya is winning, which, you know, we thought she would. However, coming out of this, now Ishikawa really, really did feel like, again, this underdog babyface. And I think this was the first time since her injury that Ishikawa has sort of reached those levels that we had her at right at the start of this Marigold run, where we were hyping her as, you know, someone we hadn't really given enough attention to and should have done. I think, you know, obviously we're going to talk a little bit about Nanae then enlisting Ishikawa as her partner, really appreciating the steel that she showed, the passion that she showed, for lack of a better phrase. And she's enlisted her as a partner for Summer Destiny, where Nanae and Nao are going to be facing Shinobu Kandori and Takako Inoue as well, which is a real, it's a huge rub for Nao Ishikawa. Huge rub. Now, there's two ways of looking at this. I know I've seen some people say, well, it's only one person taking the pinfall in that match. And yes, absolutely. I would be absolutely amazed if Nao Ishikawa doesn't eat the pinfall in this match. However, that's not the point. That's not the point at all. Because what Ishikawa is doing is wrestling at Sumo Hall alongside three Joshi legends. She has been selected by Nanae for her passion, for her desire, for her tenacity, for her determination to team with her against two Joshi legends. And that rub in itself is enormous for Nao Ishikawa. Again, she has not won a match in Marigold, and yet Nanae, of everyone she could have picked, has picked her to team with her. And I think that, Matt, speaks volumes of what Nanae has seen in Nao, especially in this match.
Rob, you mean that Kandori is going to be in this match?
That Kandori. That Kandori.
I saw this again. My Sundays are just blitzing insane. And I saw this, not this, but somebody put it on Twitter. They translated, and I think I texted you there Sunday night or Monday, and you were like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know. I had 2 seconds to look at it. Someone could have just been doing something for clickbait, and then you said, I will investigate. And apparently you did, sir, because yes, this match is official. Yeah. Again, folks, I mean, it's you're absolutely right. Ishikawa more than likely is taking the fall here, but that's not the point. Again, look at that. Look at this stacked card coming up here for Summer Destiny here on the 13th of July. The fact that we basically have three Joshi legends, and with Takahashi still wrestling right around her prime, and then Ishikawa again has a lot to prove in this match, so you know that she's going to probably be doing the bulk of the work, and rightfully so. The selling, the bumping, making the legends look better than they probably already will. So yeah, really, I mean, it's not going to go 30-40 minutes, folks. It's not going to get the Julia Sari time. It's not going to get the EO Tommy time. May go about 10-11 minutes. Everybody's going to do what they need to do to get the stuff in. I'm sure Inoue and Kandori, they're going to go and play the hits, and rightfully so. Nanae's going to do what she needs to do, and obviously Ishikawa, she can go. She can go. So I'm really interested to watch these slug, because I mean, she's really, really fired up when she throws a lot of those forearms and slaps. So I'm really interested to see how Kandori is going to respond after getting forearmed from Ishikawa. Again, it's something that's going to be really fun. It's an attraction match. It's Meltier versus Aja Kong and Ito or whatever. That's an attraction match. Yeah, Kari Ito. It's an attraction match on a card that is loaded at the top. Again, this is going to be a really, really fun match. And again, you're absolutely right. Now Ishikawa is getting the rub here because she is on her way up, which, no disrespect to the other three legends, they had their time in the sun. And again, Takahashi's still great. I mean, that match she had with Utami, the best singles match in Marigold's history. She's still fantastic, but she's not somebody that they need to push. Again, Ishikawa is going to eat the fall here, more than likely, but at the same time, she's going to get a huge, huge rub and going forward in her wrestling career. So really looking forward to that one, partner.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's all about the rub. That's what I'm bothered about. I mean, aside from the fact that that Summer Destiny card has got Julia versus Sari, Utami versus Io Sky, and now the finals of the Super Fly Championship, I will get that right, in Natsumi Shozuki and Misa Matsui, and now we've got a Joshi Legend tag match that also includes Nao Ishikawa. It's going to be a stacked card. It really is. And again, I'm made up for Nao Ishikawa because, you know, she could, you know, she could have fallen down the card with having all of these losses, and instead losing this passion injection match has led to her having this enormous chance in Sumo Hall. Again, yes, she's 100% eating the fall. Not one person is thinking that she won't, but that's not a negative. The positive is she is in this match in the first place, sharing this ring with three Joshi legends. To Coco Inoue in particular, still looks like she's about 25. I don't understand how that woman doesn't age. Nana has proved again and again and again and again, most recently against Utami just a couple of weeks ago, that she is still fantastic in ring. And Kandori will absolutely beat her to a pulp. But again, being beaten to a pulp is fine if you can show that tenacity, that determination, which Ishikawa has shown in spades throughout her Marigold run. So I'm very, very, very excited about that. I'm not necessarily. Go on.
Real quick, but I just wanted. Just something just popped in my head. Do you think that Arn Anderson is a very smart person when it comes to explaining professional wrestling?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Arn Anderson. I heard him do an interview a few years ago, and they asked him if he was bothered by when Hulk Hogan came into WCW, that he was one of the first people that got beat, and he said absolutely not, because I knew when I took that leg drop and I took the three count from Hoagland, I was coming out better because more people were watching me because I was getting the rub off Hogan. And that's what happened with Ishikawa here. A lot of people, a lot of wrestling fans from the 90s, when Inoue and Kandori had their big run, are going to be watching this match. And now Ishikawa, eating the fall or the submission, well, submission is going to be the fall, is going to come out of this better. If Arn Anderson can say, yes, I can come out of a match better eating a fall from somebody that's a big star, anybody else can. Anywho, I just want to get that out there.
I think you're absolutely right. We won't talk much now about the main event, because obviously we've already talked about it at length during the previous show, the Miko Anno and Mariah Tam Limit draw. But the six-woman tag match, Matt, this, I thought, for me, was another really good step in the right direction for Myla Grace to start off with. I think teaming with Nagisa Nozaki and Sari, who are two notorious badasses, was good for her character work to play off. And yet again, it was another really good highlighting for both Chiaki and Natsumi Shozuki.
Yeah, and obviously we only got a little bit of it, but that's all we needed.
Just a smidge. Just a smidge.
Just got we've seen this in Stardom. We've obviously seen this with Marigold. It is a standard when you have two big stars and they're in the ring together and they get teased a little bit, like, that's a singles match I want somewhere down the line. And you know we're going to get it. We got a nice forearm fest, and then it ended with Sari dumping Utami on her head. Partner, me and you have seen Utami dumped on her head probably every single match she's ever had. I've never seen her dumped on her head as quickly and as violently as Sari did. I was like, oh my goodness. Holy geez. But obviously that is just kind of the side piece of this match, where we just got, when the match was announced, you're like, oh, I hope we get something there. And again, we get, like you said, just a smidge, but was enough to whet everybody's appetite, where the Twitter world lost their mind saying, that's clearly a big money matchup that we're getting somewhere down the line. Again, you mentioned before, Myla Grace was great here as well. Chiaki, she's terrific. And Natsumi Shozuki, she's absolutely great. Again, one of my favorite wrestlers in Marigold, considering the fact that I've never seen her wrestle before. She's just a smidge below Miko Anno for me. I thought she was terrific here. Everybody played their parts well. Ultimately, though, it's that brutal double stomp that Sari does to Chiaki to get the win in this match. I thought maybe the match might have went a little bit too long at 17 minutes. If it was going to go 17 minutes, maybe I'm just being greedy. Maybe I would want it more Sari and Utami. Again, I understand why they gave us just a taste to say, all right, Hatman, I am in. Who am I paying for this match? And I would say, pay Rob Goodwin. He will find a way to get you that match. Just hit him up after the show. Anywho, and again, yeah, Myla Grace is somebody on these three shows that really upped her stock in my eyes. Again, she was somebody that I thought she was entertaining. I thought she was okay. She wasn't bad in the ring, but she just didn't seem to be up to speed with 90% of the roster. But you can tell she's working hard in the dojo, because she seems like she's up to speed with just about everybody on this Marigold roster. So good on her. I always like seeing people improving, especially improving at pro wrestling. That means they're putting the work in. So good on Myla Grace, considering the fact that she was on the same side with Sari and was able to keep up with the Chiakas, with the Natsumi Shozakis, and was able to keep up with Utami. So yeah, I thought this was my third favorite match of the show. Obviously, the main event was my favorite. I had this at 3 3/4 stars.
Yeah, I think Myla Grace came out of this glut of shows as someone with heightened stock, certainly. In fact, my only negative of the match the previous weekend in Nagoya was that match went a little bit too long. I think that opening tag went about 12 minutes, which I thought was a little bit too long. And the same could be said here as well, but obviously that's not the wrestler's fault. I think she gave a good account of herself, just giving us that little bit of a taste of what we could see potentially down the road. Utami versus Sari is good booking, clever booking, and now I would keep them away from each other for the next couple of weeks, just so that we forget about it and then bring it back. Once we've got a direction for the red belt, just remind everyone, hey, it's a match you've never seen before. We're going to give it to you, but not yet. And I think that's something that you can tease potentially for a winter pay-per-view, if that's the model that Marigold are going with, that four pay-per-view model. I think if you're going to do a winter pay-per-view and you are headlining or main eventing that winter pay-per-view with Utami Hayashishita versus Sari for whatever belt, whether it is the red belt, whether it's a special singles match, I think that will do very, very good numbers as well, if this very small sample size is anything to go by. Because, Matt, you're absolutely right. Those suplexes, dropping Utami on her head, frighteningly quick. And again, it goes back to what I said with Natsumi Shozuki. Anything done with a modicum of pace is absolutely frightening, especially in wrestling. Let's move on then to the previews to the next couple of shows. So Marigold are going to be running two shows this weekend, on the 29th, which is the Saturday, and the 30th, which is the Sunday. Both of these shows are going to be video on demand due to them taking place outside of Tokyo. We start on the 29th of June. This is from Sendai Pit, and the card is as follows: Koki Amore versus Victoria Yuzuki, Chiaki versus Kimomo Minami, Utami Hayashishita and Mai Sakurai versus Nagisa Nozaki and Zeta Steel, Bozilla and Myla Grace versus Natsumi Shozuki and Misa Matsui. So the finalists of the Superfly tournament being forced to tag together. Passion Injection matches your semi-main with Nanae Takahashi versus Chika Go. And then in your main event, the third in the trilogy of United National Championship Tournament round one matches, Mirai will be taking on Miko Aono. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if we get an announcement before this card that they have extended the time limit for this match. It also wouldn't surprise me if they go to the full 15 minutes again, and like I mentioned before, they finally get a winner in overtime. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. Matt, what are your opinions on this card, and who do you think emerges victorious out of Mirai and Miko Aono?
They should. Rossi Ogawa should completely buttonhook us and say it's going to go 30 minutes. We're going to have judges to judge it, and then it'll go 4 minutes.
We're going to have the round system.
The whole nine. We're bringing it. Kandori's coming. Hokuto's coming in. Toyota's coming. They're all going to be judges. And it goes like, yeah, 4 minutes. I think Mirai's going to win. I'm going to throw this one at you. What if this goes to a time limit draw, and then we do a three-way dance at Korakuen, our sumo hall? I think that's one way to go about it. I don't think it's the right way, but do you think that's an option that they can go upon?
It's certainly an option. It's not something I would do. I think something that I do like about Japanese wrestling is that we tend to have one-on-one matches for the championship, and one-on-one matches always feel like they carry more prestige than a three-way, a four-way, or a five-way. I feel like it diminishes it slightly by having more than two people in it. However, that's not to say that I'm not going to like a Bozilla versus Mirai versus Miko Aono. I would just prefer it to be a singles match.
I'm with you as well. But DDM and Queen's Quest on the same side. That's something interesting as well. And of course, Chika Goto in a Passion Injection match. This is a solid, solid show, solid undercard with the main event match that they have done a great job building up over these past 2 weeks. So yeah, really, really interesting to see. And before, again, Rob mentioned this is video on demand, so we do not know when the next episode of the Marigold Standard will come out, depending on when these shows get released, and then when we're able to watch them and review. So we know that we do pretty well on the schedule that is the Stardom Cast, where it comes out to everybody on Friday, obviously a day early, and ad free for everyone on Patreon. So we don't know when these shows are, when we're going to have the next episode up. So just bear with us, folks.
Yeah, absolutely. It is worth pointing out as well, another match that I'm looking forward to seeing, and something they were building at Shinkiba, is Koki Amore and Victoria Yuzuki, as obviously they continue to fight after their show, after the match in... Oh, no, it wasn't. It was Chika Goto. Ignore me entirely. It was Chika Goto that Yuzuki was having that fight with post-match after that three-way where she thought she had the victory, but not quite. So ignore me entirely. Let's move on instead to Night 9, Mirai Homecoming Show in Miyako City Sea Arena in Iwate, Sunday, the 30th of June, 2024. The card is as follows. Natsumi Shozuki versus Kimomo Minami. Miko Aono versus Victoria Yuzuki. Closet banger right there. The Twin Towers, Koki Amore and Chika Goto versus Nagisa Nozaki and Zayda Steele. Nanae Takahashi and Nao Ishikawa versus Bozilla and Myla Grace. And then in your main event, Mirai and Mai Sakurai versus Utami Hayashishita and Chiaki. Matt, I know I've pretty much just put all my cards face down on the table, or face up on the table, should I say, and said, yeah, Miko Aono versus Victoria Yuzuki is going to be my favorite match on that card. I cannot wait for that. What are you excited for?
I'm going to be a little bit different with you, partner. You said Miko Aono and Victoria Yuzuki is going to be the best match on the card?
Yep, absolutely. That is what I'm saying.
So you said Miko and Yuzuki. I'm going to say it's going to be Yuzuki and Miko Aono. That's what I'm going to say. See how I reverse the names? I was trying to be funny. Solid show. I agree with you. I think that's going to be the best match on the show. I liked how Nanane and now Ishikawa are teaming. And I think they should team on every show from now until Summer Destiny. So this way they kind of get some tag symmetry. You know, they're building themselves up for that match. I don't know if we're going to see Kandori and Inono in any way, shape, or form between now and Summer Destiny. I don't think they need to come in to sell tickets. I think they've already done pretty well with that, with announcing EO. But I'd like to see them, you know, either tag or on the same side as six-person tag. So this way they get that tag team chemistry down. So I think that's really smart booking there. That main event seems to be tasty as well. But no, I am all for that Yuzuki versus Miko Aono match as probably the best match of the show.
Yeah, and obviously by the end of these two shows, we might have more of a direction heading into the Sumo Hall show on the 13th of July, which, Matt Turner, as we record, is just over 2 weeks away. I mean, I cannot believe how fast this is coming up. It seems like only yesterday that Marigold had just been announced, never mind heading towards their first pay-per-view. It is cheaper on pay-per-view for those who already subscribe to Wrestle Universe. I believe it's 4,400 yen to those that aren't subscribe to Wrestle Universe, and I believe it's 3,200 yen to those who subscribe to Wrestle Universe. So you do get a discount. Yes, you do have to pay. But I mean, come on, we just announced those four matches to you. I mean, Julia versus Sari, Utami Hayashishita versus Io Sky. Those two matches alone, it is worth this pay-per-view buy. Let's not beat around the bush. And then, of course, you've got the finals of the United National Tournament. Natsumi Shozuki and Misa Matsui in the finals of the Superfly Championship Tournament. And you've got a Joshi Legend match where you get to see two legends beating the ever-loving Jimmy out of Nao Ishikawa. What is not to love, people? We will be doing, as Matt Turner announced on Twitter, we will be doing a live review that night. So please join us for that. Keep an eye peeled on the Marigold podcast Twitter so that you can see our times in terms of that. And come and join us over on YouTube for our live review of that show. In the meantime, guys, that just about finishes everything that we have got to say on the Marigold Standard this week. Thank you for your patience as we got this episode out. Just gave us a little bit of time just to watch the Shinkiba show. If you want to follow us, you can over on Twitter at Marigold Podcast. If you want to find us on other social media, you can at the Stardomcast. You can check out our Patreon, www.patreon.com/thestardomcast. All of the news and archived episodes are available at www.thestardomcast.com. You can talk to me on Twitter at Real Rob Goodwin. If you like what you hear, or if you think we've deserved it, a 5-star review on the podcast app of your choice would make a huge amount of difference, and we will massively, massively appreciate it to boot. I've been Rob Goodwin. Matt Turner signs off, good sir.
Like how he said, I've been Rob Goodwin. Rob will continue to be
he
Rob
will
Goodwin.
Continue he, to be Rob he's, Goodwin.
He's not changing his name to the Good Father or the Godfather. He will continue
Rob.
To be Rob Goodwin. There it is, even though I did call him the Barbarian on this past week's alternate commentary. Anywho, but what's my name? Anywho, folks, questions, comments, anything you need from me, suggestions, Matt Turner OF on the Instagram and or the Twitter is the best way to get a hold of me. If you want to shoot me an email, that's perfectly fine. thestardomcast22@gmail.com is the best way to get a hold of me via email system. Folks, that's going to wrap it up for another fantastic episode. We greatly appreciate your support. Can't do the show without you, because like I always say, it's just not my podcast. It's our podcast, because when we're all together, everybody's different. Everyone's special.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Refresh your home today at Menards with window images, blinds, and shades. We have everything you need for updating your window treatments. We carry vinyl, aluminum, and faux wood blinds, cellular shades, and more. Save big on window treatments at Menards. Plus, get them cut to width in-store for free. Visit Menards.com and view our entire selection of window treatments today. Plus, the weekly flyer and other great deals going on now. Save.